Get in the freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard and Mark, Matt, Marcus, sorry about just
Mike.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Huard, not exactly Joe Capp there in the pocket.
Presented by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Well, in the 7 a.m. hour this morning, we learned that Troy Dannon, the athletic director at the University of Washington, was leaving. He's going to take a job at Nebraska, 6-year deal that he will sign there. We talked to Pete Thamel about it. He broke that news, and we got a little sense as to why all of this went down. Essentially, he wanted that particular job. It wasn't just about leaving UW. It was about going back to the Midwest, going back near his home.
The resources are excellent at Nebraska. It is. I was through there right before the draft. I did a Midwest swing last year, and Trev Alberts told me it's the only Big Ten school that does not have any debt. Like, it didn't have a dime of debt. So you think about it, they went through basically 20 years of pretty brutal football, and they've had, I think, five ADs since 07, something like that. And that, you know, people just kept showing up, and they'll be well-poised, you know, for the NIL era, and are well poised for that. And I guess one other thing that I mentioned, and I have a story up on ESPN.com, is that Troy Dannon and Matt Rhule have a relationship from their time in the AAC.
So it's people he's got a relationship with. It's a community that he feels a lot more at home in. And ultimately, after being here for just 6 months, he bails to go back to Nebraska, or to go to Nebraska.
Yeah, it's his family. I mean, we heard that from Pete. You know, sources close to the situation tell me that his family and, you know, that is a big part of this. You know, these are not 18-year-olds going to college. These are not 22-year-olds that are drafted to a professional football team in the NFL that have contracts and college at least have 1 year kind of binding scholarships for that particular season. And it's a year-to-year transaction, right? These are, in many times, and in this case, a 50-year-old guy that had been in the Midwest, had been down in New Orleans at Tulane and did some good things and dollar stretched pretty far and enjoyed some of the Southern stuff, and family did as well. And then he moved out here and family didn't move with him and tried to figure all that stuff out. And then over time, you know, the family's like, yep. If there's an opportunity, oh, Nebraska's up and they're going to offer me 6 years and even more money. And my dollar stretches here, and all our family's right around here, and this is right near our backyard where we grew up. Like, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. And you can tell me I got purple rim glasses, and hey, you know, well, of course, it's never Washington's fault that people leave. No, I think it's the environment isn't for everybody, Salk, and I think you laid that out pretty well earlier in the show. I mean, the traffic, the cost of living, like, for us locals, heck, I'm down here at our sister station, Salk. Guess what? There's some folks here that used to be up in our market, you know, and maybe there were family dynamics involved in those cases where it was like, hey, man, or, you know, we're at a place in our life here in our 40s or 50s that we can make different decisions, and, you know, we can go where our family wants to grow and develop. And, you know, it's can be a tougher scenario there. So, you know what you need to find? A West Coaster, a coaster, a big city, someone that understands, you know, like you. You love the city. You love the urban life.
You know what the problem is? You just had one of those, and she left.
Jen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's part of the problem. I'm not disagreeing with you, but you just had that.
You did.
And she left.
And she stuck around a long time.
She did.
So,
but she was stuck a lifer, around and she was and she all was. About this
and
program.
And she was there for almost 30 years, and she was. And she gave an unbelievable amount and should be celebrated for hiring Chris Peterson, because Chris Peterson was a big part of hiring Kalen DeBoer, right? And some of the moves that they have made, and now even Jed Fish and Chris Peterson, thankfully, has stayed in the Pacific Northwest and not left to Boise, because if that asset were out the door and you did not have that guy and his wisdom and his experience and his love for the area pouring into it and making it right, I don't know where you would be. So, yeah, you did have that, and Jen was here for 30 years, and I don't think Jen was leaving for Oregon or Oregon State or Cal or Stanford or UCLA or any other place away from the coast. There was kind of one job and one brand that ultimately ended up getting her, and in retrospect, should you have paid through the nose? Was it financial, or was it just like, you know what, I gotta go here and be with one of the brands and one of the blue-blooded power brokers in all of college athletics in that market? So that's what you're going to have to find. I don't think you're going to find and hire Midwest sensibilities. I don't think you're going to go down south and bring someone from the SEC back here. You're going to have to find somebody that's got a coastal background, a big city background that understands and frankly doesn't even understand it, has a love for it. Like, this is what I love. I love the big city. Mm-hmm. I don't mind traffic. I don't mind what comes with all of this. You know, I don't mind a little rain. I don't mind this environment. This is where I want to be. And maybe that's somebody from within. You mentioned Damon and Shannon, you know, has been there a long time. People in the department have been there, entrenched there, know it, love it. And that may make the most sense now because, yeah, as you and we've talked about, timing is not great. New conference, new relationships, new basketball coach, a brand new football coach and all of his staff. I'd sure like to see some foundation and some stability put in place.
I mean, this timing is rough, right? This is certainly not what you want to be dealing with right now.
No, not ideal, but you know what? The timing of everything in college athletics over this calendar
right.
You don't get to choose that. No, you don't. An intriguing name, and I don't know if it's come up on that text toy, is the guy on the other side of the mountains. You know, Pat Chun is an unbelievable administrator. Pat Chun has had to do more with less, and look at his hires, and look at the moves that he has made in his men's and women's basketball and baseball and volleyball and, you know, from a personnel standpoint, a connection standpoint. Now, would he go work? Would he go work for the president on the west side of the state who played a pretty big role in disbanding it and disbanding the conference and leaving Wazoo and Oregon State exposed and financially in the hurt that they're in? That'd be a question that only Pat Chun could answer. Mm. Or does he just say, absolutely, flat out, cannot, will not, not, don't even try to call me. I will look for many other Big Ten jobs or other jobs rather than go yeah. on that side of
Has
the
Has that ever really happened?
What's that?
Like a Washington and UW coach or athletic director?
Oh, coaches all the time. Yeah, there's certainly
head
been
coaches. That have gone from one school to the other?
No, probably not head coaches, but a bunch of different assistants.
Yeah, all right, but head
Bill
coaches?
Bill Moose goes from Oregon to Wazoo.
I'm talking Washington and Washington State.
Head coaches, none that I can think of. Text athletic can directors, help me out.
I can't think of any. It doesn't
nope.
mean it hasn't
athletic
happened.
Athletic directors, nope.
You want to hear from the text line a
sure.
little bit. I'm just going to run through these. I thought UW was a prime job. I guess not. Wonder how Hopkins feels. The guy that fired me a few days ago is gone. Jeez.
Well, and I wonder how Jed Fish feels. You know, it was Troy Dannon and my big brother that were on that plane, and it was Troy that brokered that deal in 45 minutes. And it was, you know, I think that this job, and Jed Fish would say that, and he said it to you and me when you asked him, like, well, what questions did you have? I didn't have any questions. Like, I'm going here. Mm. It's the Big Ten. It's this money. It's recruiting here. It's they've been to a national championship. They've won a national. Like, yeah, this is where I'm going. Like,
yeah.
For Jed Fish, it wasn't Troy Dannon wasn't on that list. He didn't come to Washington because of Troy Dannon. He came to Washington because it was 7 years and $50 million and the huge payday that he wanted at a place that he thinks he can win a national title at.
Yeah.
Or certainly get to a 12-team or 14-team playoff, which I don't think is unrealistic.
That is one of the questions here. If he's so family, then don't take the freaking job to begin with. Mm-hmm. 206 says, all this moaning about cost of living for a guy making $3 million a year, I'm not feeling his pain. Cost of living's not why Troy left.
Oh, cost of living is a big part of why Troy left. He wasn't making $3 million here. He was making $1 million here. And where his dollar was in Northern Iowa and New Orleans and everything else and with his family, and maybe not for Troy Dannon, but maybe for family, it was a big deal. Hmm. And it's not just the cost of living. It's everything that comes within that. It is the traffic. It's the experience. You've never been a big city. Like, all of it was just so new to family, and that was not a – maybe you should have done a little homework. You know, Morris said that earlier. Like, wouldn't you have done that? And wouldn't you have done some of your research? And, you know, couldn't
– Right.
But if he is sitting there in the minor leagues,
people have made mistakes like that. I've been like, hey, this is my opportunity. Is it perfect? Yep. No, but I'm going to go try it and see how it goes and see if I like living there. Oh, wait, I don't. I want out. I mean, that's not, he certainly wouldn't be the first person to do that. Kyle Brown and others pointing out Marv Harshman went straight from Wazoo to UW basketball coach decades ago.
70s.
Marv Harshman. So there you go. Marv Harshman. And then also June Doherty.
June did go. June did go.
I don't know
UW.
June Doherty.
Yep, June was Molly's coach at Washington.
Wow.
Yeah, shame on me.
Well, you should have had that one.
Erase
What's the matter with you?
Oh,
are you doing okay? Are you all right down there?
Great.
Or is this totally throwing you off?
Well, breaking news, as we know, it's not something we often deal with. It's difficult at times to absorb.
Right.
But, yeah.
You seem a little thrown off. We're not done talking about this. We'll come back to it in a few minutes. In fact, in 20, we'll try to figure out what this means for Jed Fish, for the football team, for the future of the basketball program. That's coming up in 20. We'll give you everything you need to know, including two new signings for the Seahawks yesterday. And the Mariners are totally backwards. It's next on Brock and Salk.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, it's not a great day for the University of Washington or any Husky fan out there. Troy Dannon, the athletic director, has left as of this morning. Pete Thamel of ESPN breaking the news that he is going to Nebraska to sign a six-year deal. He joined us and said it's all about Nebraska rather than Washington.
I think it's pretty simple. Troy Dannon is of the Midwest. He was the AD at Northern Iowa for 8 years, and that's where his family is from. That's where his wife's family is from. And, you know, if you grow up in the Midwest in college athletics, you know, Nebraska is a destination. And, obviously the timing is not great, right? Like that's a very obvious thing. I just think in this era of college athletics, we're all free agents. And, you know, this was an opportunity from what sources told me that Troy Dannon saw as a way to get home to a destination job.
Brock, how serious an issue is this for the University of Washington?
Yeah, I think it is a serious issue. I would not minimize that. It's just constant turnover and constant change. And, you know, how do you build a foundation and some level of stability and put a vision and a plan forward, Salk? And, you know, that old adage about this domino falls, it just feels like college athletics. From the players to the coaches to the administrators, is nothing but dominoes constantly. This happens because Nebraska loses their president. The president goes to Ohio State. Trev Alberts, the AD, didn't like that and doesn't really want to work for a new president. Instead, wants to go to A&M, and they pay him through the nose with all their oil money. And now this vacates and opens up that Nebraska job, which for Troy Dannon now gets a bigger payday, and that domino falls, and all his family gets to go back home. So it's just constantly dominoes falling. Yes, it is. It is a challenge. I'm not going to paint it any other way. Get a new head coach, right? There's facilities. You're building a $60 million new basketball facility, training facility right there on site. You're moving into a new conference with new competition. It is a big deal, and you better, I think the strongest opinion I can have is you better find somebody that has some serious skin in the game at that program or understanding of what it is like in this conference and in the Northwest in particular.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, we know the Mariner lineup is a lot longer than it's been. Everyone's told us that, and it's pretty clear when you look at it. But when everyone's healthy, you can see it do some damage. You can ask the Rockies about that. Their pitchers gave up 18 hits and 12 runs yesterday. Haniger and Dylan Moore both went yard. Jorge Polanco's just been on fire.
And a 3-2 to Polanco. Swing on, hit, past the diving third baseman into left field. Moore scores. Julio runs through the stop sign. The throw goes to second. Two runs picked up by Jorge Polanco, and the Mariners have a 5-1 lead on Colorado here in the second inning.
This guy just seems like he is a clutch hitting and doubles machine.
What is Julio doing running through stop signs?
Yeah,
Don and Julio, what are you doing? Yeah. Listen to Manny over there on third base.
Yeah,
it's a little different. Remember, Colton Wong did not hit all last spring. And those numbers were not very good.
Right.
I don't think A.J. Pollock hit very much last spring. And, well, these new pieces, and some are just returners of old, and Mitch Haniger in particular is the hottest of them all. But for Mitch to Julio to J.P. to Polo to, yeah, even Luis, all of them are getting the job done with the bat.
It's been really nice. Luke Raley, kind of the only guy he's expected to be in this lineup who really hasn't done a lot. Now, some of it is about Brock Brandt Brown, their new offensive coordinator, and not just the new players, but a new system of what they're trying to learn and what they're trying to teach. Mitch thinks they're doing a good job.
I think just doing a better job of explaining game planning and making sure everyone understands it. I think that was kind of, it's been since pitchers have done a really good job over the last, like, you know, I'd say 10 years, but even more so the last 5 years, a ton of their pitches. You have to be really good with game planning and knowing where you need to hunt the zone and depending on each guy you face. And I think in the past, some guys might not have understood it very well. And I think now the language has gotten really good and guys are having a better grasp of what they're trying to do at the plate, which is really helpful.
Yeah,
I can assure you this, Salk.
Yeah.
I can assure you this. That will be added to my lexicon.
What?
Tunnels and
tunneling.
Hunting.
Yeah. It's a big part of it.
Tunneling and hunting.
Tunneling and hunting. Yes. We played you the, did I play you the tunneling sound about Dom Canzone? You'll like this one. Here, listen to this.
Really, you know, different guys are going about it different ways. With Canzone, it's been all about tunneling. He's looking for balls in a certain tunnel, and if not there, he's laying off, and he's just playing the odds. And Dom understands that. We know he's a poker player, and that's part of it. So different things like that are helping different guys.
Just playing the odds. Just doing the tunneling. Just knowing what tunnel it's in.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Busy Seahawks.
Busy
Seahawks again yesterday, Brock. They're filling out that roster. They bring in a nose tackle, a big boy, Jonathan Hankins. He's been with Dallas. He's been with a lot of teams, most recently with Dallas. 6'2", 320, space eater up front.
Big Hank.
Big Hank, yeah.
I mean, you just can't find Big Hanks everywhere.
No.
He'd be the first to tell you that.
That's right.
Well, maybe, yeah, with some experience. And he had some background with Durday, the new defensive coordinator, so he had his eyes on him down there in Dallas. I think he had three sacks, career-high three sacks last year for the big man getting home, but that's not what he's known for. He is a big old space eater, and the entertainment value that comes with big guys like that sustaining the league, sign me up. They're pretty fun to listen to.
I don't know. For some reason, it may sound like you were saying he's a big old space heater.
Like, well, they're warm, too, Salt.
You just plug them in, and
that's how they find the shade.
He's just a big old space heater.
Yep, that's they conserve their energy. And,
yeah.
Yep, all that good. So they also signed a safety.
Yes.
Was down here in the desert before he ended. Where did he go? Tennessee.
Tennessee.
The season. He's, he, too, has been around a few places. Former Clemson guy. Mid-round pick, but adds a little bit of depth to that safety room.
All right, that's everything you need to know. By the way, the Dodgers did beat the Padres. Come from behind victory early this morning. They were in South Korea and Seoul. And that's the opening of the baseball season. That's everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show. Mm-hmm. Well, there is the big news, and that is that the Huskies have a big hole at the athletic director spot. It's obviously a key spot, and the fact that it's going to turn over for the second time in only about 6 or 8 months is concerning. What does it mean for the future of the program? What does it mean for Jed Fish? What does it mean for a basketball program that has been moribund here for almost a decade and, quite frankly, doesn't have a coach and is in the middle of a coaching search? Got a lot of questions left on this for you, Brock. We'll do them next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
If you're just jumping in early this morning, about 2 hours ago, Pete Thamel from ESPN reported that Troy Dannon, who's the athletic director at the University of Washington, will be no longer. Instead, he's moving to go to Nebraska to take the same job there on a 6-year deal. Brock, what does this mean now in the program? Because you've got a lot of new faces. It's been a turbulent year. Certainly for the University of Washington, when you start to kind of, you know, filter through everything they've done, right? They look like they were getting left behind with the Big Ten, and then they found their way in. There have been lawsuits and the back and forth, but they are in the Big Ten. They go all the way. You know, they lose. They fire a coach.
Unprecedented season, right? They go 14-0. They play in the national championship. An unbelievable. The greatest season other than 1991 in the history of the program.
And then their coach leaves. And moments later, they end up replacing him with Jed Fish, who, while being a very interesting and intriguing and very good coach who's done great work, is also sort of a flight risk as well in his own way. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, they fire their basketball coach after 7 largely forgettable years coming off of 2 or 3 bad ones from Romar at the end. It's been a decade since the basketball team has been relevant. And now, for the second time in 6 months, because in the middle of all of that, Jen Cohen departed for USC, now Troy Dannon is leaving as well. That's turbulence in a really significant way.
You think so?
Yes, I do. I don't know if it's necessarily going to, like, you know, destroy the programs, but it's certainly turbulent with your two marquee sports.
Yes.
So what does all of this mean for a few people involved? What does it mean for the football team? What does it mean for Jed Fish?
Yeah, well, for Jed Fish, it means the guy that hired me and gave me a 7-year, $50 million contract, who I hardly knew, by the way. They had no relationship.
Right. They talked on the phone for 5 minutes.
I was 45 minutes. Yeah, they had 5 minutes, and they had a 45-minute call, and that was it. I mean, I was telling somebody, you know, one of our old buddies, one of our old Lumbergs, this whole story and all the background behind all of that. and they had no prior relationship within 48 to 72 hours, Salk, on the basis of a 45-minute phone call. Was a new 7-year, $50 million deal to be the highest paid imagine. Employee in the state, and hard. Now you are going to lead this program moving forward.
So hard to fathom.
So that head coach, you know, when we talk about this pecking order and everything else, mm-hmm. remember, Troy was making $1 million a year for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, and here comes Jed, now is the guy to now steer the ship and lead the program. The most important hire for any athletic director in these jobs is their football coach. Mm-hmm. And so he makes that hire and gets the blessing of the president because there's no time. There's no time to vet. There's no time to interview fully. There's no month and a half like John Schneider got to talk to 30 candidates. Because you do that, all your kids leave. And the kids that are signing, the kids that are coming in the portal or going into the like in and out of the portal. I mean, it's a total mess. So that gets done in 48 to 72 hours. So how big of a deal is this really to Jed Fish? Minimal. Minimal. I mean, he has no past relationship. This isn't my buddy for years. This isn't my colleague. This isn't somebody that just, you know, has hosed me. Are you kidding me? Jed Fish is like, okay, all right, who are we going to hire next? Here we go. You know, and is it going to be Chris Peterson involved in that process as he was the previous time, you know, to interview these? Obviously, a lot of it falls on the president, you know, Casse to now, you know, get the whole search committee going once again. I mean, heck, you just did it 6 months ago and landed on Dan. And who was your number two? Who was your number three? Are they still available? How close was it with Troy Dannon and I don't know, Scott Barnes down at Oregon State? How close was it between him and, I don't know, did Pat Chun entertain it then? Will he entertain it now? I mean, I guess the only saving grace and good news is he just went through this 6-7 months ago with a much harder situation, losing an institutional, deep-rooted, 30 years, purple and gold-blooded Jen Cohen. And so, you know, you went through this process and you just simply go back to it now and go, well, we really love so-and-so and let's get on this phone and get this thing done and make sure so-and-so and Jed Fish get on the same page so we don't stop. Because you stop now, you stop the fundraising, you stop, you know, the collectives, you stop, you know, the vision casting. It's a real danger in college athletics. So I think you better move on this pretty quickly.
Well, you also, I guess, have a basketball issue as well, right?
Oh, you do?
Because in the middle of this, right. You're trying to conduct too. A basketball's yes. coaching search. We asked Pete Thamel about
Troy
that.
Was in
I think it's an uncomfortable yeah. like moment for that search, but I think that search goes, you know, goes forward without too big of a hitch here. Yeah. And I think whenever their target either loses in the NCAA tournament or emerges here in the next week, I think they land the plane. Now, it's going to take a, you know, a couple more Zooms, right? And some explanations yeah. and some plans. And Washington's President Amare has certainly been in the thick of some pretty interesting moments in college athletics here in the past, years. She was kind of at the forefront of the Pac-12 stuff, but I don't think this is something where, you know, they're going to have to hire an interim free. I don't think it's debilitating to the search.
So is he saying that essentially they already know who they want to hire?
Yes.
Because that's, I mean, otherwise it would set back the search. There's no way it couldn't.
Yeah. I mean, Troy has been down and was in Vegas talking, you know, as Pete went on to say, a bunch of these Mountain West coaches. And
yeah, he specifically mentioned one, Danny Sprinkle.
Right.
And I made a quick reference in my story that search, you know, is expected to stay on track with where it was. I mean, the, you know, Danny Sprinkle's been the sort of presumed favorite in that for a while, and you're probably fishing from a Mountain West pool, right? I think that's what everybody, you guys probably spent a lot more time on Washington basketball candidates than I have, but I would think that's the general not pool.
Really. Not really. How about that? Let's not get so carried
much.
Away, Pete.
Not so much.
Yeah, no.
But they are building a $60 million or $50 or $60 million new just basketball facility right there by the football stadium that they've not had, that's kept them behind many of these other schools that they've tried to compete with. And as they move to the Big Ten, Salk, and you're recruiting against Michigan and Ohio State and the power brokers, Illinois, that, you know, have basketball programs whose mm-hmm. facilities are far greater than yours. So
Indiana.
I think they just broke ground on that. And so that you would think would be appealing to one of these Mountain West coaches. And one of these coaches inevitably is going to look at this like Jed Fish did and say, okay, what is this really all about? Right. And going to turn to his or her wife and say, hey, this is what it's about. Okay. We're going to go to the Big Ten. We're going to be in one of the two power conferences. The SEC and the Big Ten are going to run this thing for the near term anyway. And we've got these resources, and they're going to pay us this amount of money, an extraordinary amount of money, more than anybody in that Mountain West has ever made in their life and in their careers, if it's sprinkled in particular from Montana State to Utah State to Washington. So, you know, let's jump aboard. And those will likely be the deciding factors. I don't think it will be, wow, I don't know who the AD is, right? You know, I don't know. No, okay, that's fine. I know where the building is. I know where the school is. I know how to recruit here, and ultimately, I'm going to be playing in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be in the big boy conference. So it attracted Jed Fish, and it will likely attract their next basketball
game. Mountain Oregon weighing in says, hey, you know, if you consider what percentage of Dannon's whole tenure that 45-minute interview was, it was actually pretty thorough.
Yes,
well, I guess that makes sense. Guy was only here for 6 months, so 45 minutes is kind of a lot of time to spend on that whole
gonna
thing.
Going to be their third AD in 8 months. Going to be their fourth, and Jed's their fourth football coach in 5 years. They will have their third AD in less than a calendar year, and now Jed is their fourth football coach, Salk, in 5 years.
Yep. So how big an issue is that?
And your team just went and played for the national championship and had a runner-up for Heisman and 13 due to the combine.
It is really funny, you know, man. It's like you can just really you write would say two very that, separate narratives here.
You would say that, right? And you would look at that, and you would say, oh, what a disaster. I mean, football program must be 0-12. Mm-hmm. Facilities must be just crumbling.
Right.
Support must be horrible.
Right.
Like, they just must be, like, you know, 2008, with Willingham, Tyrone. Like, this is bad. Oh, no. Actually, they just went to the playoff in 16, and they went to the national title game in 23, and nobody else in the conference can lay claim to that. And over those 5 years, been near the top of the conference and winning, and just had the runner-up for the Heisman. Sure. And can have multiple first-round picks.
What role do you think Fish plays here moving forward? Because now he kind of becomes, as crazy as this sounds, the longest tenured, like, big position guy in or person, I should say, in this organization. Is he going to be a part of this process and choosing the next athletic director?
I mean, I think he would sit in as Kalen DeBoer did when he was the coach and sat in on the interview process.
Kalen DeBoer had at least been here as a coach. This guy's literally never coached a game.
Let's see. How long was Kalen had been there? Oh, about a year.
At least he's been there a year. At least he like knew how to get to his office.
More than 3 months.
Does Jed Fish even have a house?
Yes. Yeah, he's got a house over there in Bellevue. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, 12 months versus 3 months. So, yeah, Kalen had been here a little bit longer.
That's a pretty big difference.
But he hadn't been here that long.
He'd at least been through a season. This guy literally has not coached a game.
But they both understand. They both understand the gig they're in. They're both, you know, 40-somethings. They've been around the block for 20-some years and been, in Jed's case, a lot of places and seen a lot of ADs and a lot of athletic departments and a lot of different coaches. And I said this earlier, and I really believe this. It was hard when Chris Peterson said no to college football. It was really hard. And you could kind of argue and look back at that and say, man, you know, that kind of started a lot of this wheel of change, right? And I don't know if Chris was still here and if Chris was the one leading them to the national title game, if Jen Cohen would still be here, and because he was such an absolute stud and so pure in a totally impure sport. Maybe. But once he kind of moved off of this thing, the turnover began, certainly on the football coach end, now in the last 12 months on the AD end. But it is an enormous resource that he said it when he stepped down. Like, I'm not leaving. I'm not moving back to Idaho. I'm not moving to, you know, to the desert. I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay here. I love it here. We got home here, got family here, and I'm going to be a resource. I'm going to be a resource. I'm going to teach classes. I'm going to be a resource to the coaches that follow me. I'm going to be a resource to the program. I'm going to be a resource to the athletic director, and I sure hope he still is. I sure hope that he is not so disenfranchised now by this whole thing that he says, I'm out. I'm just, like, this whole college game and all of this stuff, just, I'm done. Because he was. He was involved with Troy. He was involved in the hiring of Jed Fish.
He must feel kind of burned, right? Like, I hired this freaking guy, and 6 months later, he bails on me? Like, I don't know. I would feel pretty burned in that situation.
You would? Or would you feel burned? Or would you look at it and go, okay, like, Nebraska opened up, and he's going home?
Well, I think I could feel both of those things at the same time.
Yep.
In fact, I think I would have to, right?
Like, you would have to.
I would feel burned. I would feel like, okay, it was some bad situation. I would also feel like I got to learn something from that mistake. Yep. Because ultimately, I don't know, you now have to look at it and say Troy Dannon was a mistake because he's left you right back in the same position 6 months later, not even a year later, mm-hmm. 6 months later. Mm-hmm. What can you learn from the mistake of hiring Troy Dannon yep. to help you this next time around, which is yep. going to come real quick?
Yep, I think you got to learn. You better be real careful to hire somebody that's been a total outsider, that has no experience living on the West Coast, that no experience living on the coast, right? It has no experience of living in all that comes with that, and all the travel and all the traffic and all the immense upside that comes with it and all the beauty and everything else. But it's been an attraction for a lot of companies for a reason, with a lot of people and a lot of populace. Very different than Ames, Iowa. Very different than Northern Iowa. Very different than even a Tulane on the outskirts of New Orleans. You know, like, you can be removed from New Orleans and still commute in and out with pretty good ease. You know, you better be real careful hiring somebody that's not been here. Now, we'll go through ranked here and a bunch of these names, but I think that's the lesson that you learn. Jen was here for a long time because this was her place, her skin in the game, right? That her roots ran deep here. She was there in the marketing department, Salk, when I was in school in the 90s, right? She'd been there almost 30 years. It was like her lifeblood, and it was her dream job until really the one job on the coast. And I don't know if there was a job on the East Coast that would have taken her, probably not. But the one job as a Southern California high schooler and grew up down there, the one job that could attract her and pull her away did. Mm. And it did. And now I think you learn your lesson that you better be very careful to hire somebody that has no background on what it requires to live and to lead here, not just for yourself, but your family as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's interesting. I mean, when I hear you say it, I mean, it does sort of sound like a bad luck situation for UW. And I think some of that is true. I'm pretty willing to buy some of that. On the other hand, you got to start to know that. You got to not get caught by that same bad luck again. You got to not have it be, oh, just the one job they would have left for. And by the way, if we're having the same conversation next year about Jed Fish going to Florida, there are going to be a lot of people saying, yeah, I told you this was going to happen, but that's the one
not
job.
Not a lot of people. Just see Raj.
No, I mean, over there and were over, a lot of people over, who were saying
over,
it.
And over and over. Texting me daily. Texting me this morning. Letting me know that. Yeah. No, I think that, and he's not the only one. You're right. That's fair, because when the guy's been a lot of different places, it's understandable as he's, you know, moved himself up the food chain. Now mm-hmm. he's near the top of it, at a place where you can go to playoff, at a place where they're paying you $7 million a year.
But this is now a lot of people that we keep saying, even though they're near the top of it, they keep finding that one other job that would lure them away. And, you know, that's a challenge, right? Something mm-hmm. that they're going to have to work on when making this next hire.
What was Kalen's number? It just came out, 10-year, $90 million.
That's it?
10-year, 90.
Is that what Troy's going to get? This? I don't think he's going to get the
no,
same.
No, Troy would probably get 6 years and $20 million.
That sounds pretty good. I could deal with that. I don't know if I'd move to Nebraska for it, but I would at least think about it for a few minutes. Let's rank.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwanfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
Ranked.
All right, Brock, I've got 2, 4, 6. I've got 7 names that have come up over the course of the morning in various ways as potential replacements to be the athletic director at the University of Washington. Not saying all of these are real candidates. These are just 7 names that we've heard mentioned by anybody, including text messages today. Maybe you can rank these 7 for me in order. Ready? Aaron O'Connell, who's the interim AD. Mm-hmm. Chris Peterson. Shannon Kelly, who's the associate AD. Mm-hmm. Damon Heward. We're familiar with the name.
Associate AD.
He's a name that maybe you know. Mm-hmm. Pete Carroll, Pat Chun, and you mentioned the name Scott Barnes.
Yep.
Of those 7, can you give me a ranking in order?
Sure, I'll give you some honorable mentions.
All right, in addition to those, wow. Okay.
No.
Oh, of those, okay. So 2 of those get honorable mentions.
And by the way, I may or may not have been asked when the football job came open to put together my own little list of candidates.
Yeah.
And that was much easier to do.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of background. You know those coaches. I've sat with those coaches. I got strong opinions about those coaches. I don't sit with many ADs. Now, there are some that come in and introduce themselves in our production meetings or when we get on campus. So it's not zero. You know, there are definitely a few that are big names in the sport, but nothing like football. And certainly for our audience, nobody would really know many of these names. But honorable mention is the great Honorable Pete Carroll, because he will hear his name mentioned as a 72-year-old and say, thank you, God bless you, I want no part of college athletics. So got his degree, got his doctorates, got his certificates down there from SC. They have honored him. They love him. Pete Carroll wants no part of any
I'm less
of that.
Convinced of that.
Oh, I'm 100% sold.
And it has nothing to do with whether he'd really be involved in college football. I just wonder whether Pete would have any interest at all in essentially just setting the culture there and letting other people do that heavy lifting.
Nope, because he ultimately is a coach that works his butt off, and that's all he knows, and he would never be able to do that. He put his name on it. He's the AD of it. He would never be just a vision caster. He would have to be involved, and he did not want to be involved in college athletics, and I can say that from a source pretty confidently. So honorable mention, as would be Chris Peterson, because if Chris wasn't going to be a football coach, which he told us like 2-3 weeks ago in the college realm, he's not going to be an administrator. Nope, I could hear him chuckle and say stars in that same administration in that same kind of tone, like, nope, not going
to
do that.
I mean, he just turned it down or just opted not to do it 6 months ago. No reason to assume he would do it now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so no desire, because he knows the workload for football. That was his life for decades and decades and decades. And the way that guy is wired too, is he going to go and be an administrator and just be a figurehead? Absolutely not. He would have to grind and work, and it would be a lot of new learning. And I don't think at this stage of life that would be for him.
So we can take the two Petes off of this list.
Yeah. So now we're down to 1, 2, 3, 4. Now we're down to our 5. I'm going to put in this. Gosh, I mean, I really don't know. I know Shannon Kelly. She played basketball with my wife. I'm going to put Shannon way up there, way up there. I know we usually go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Salk.
Yeah.
I put 3 stars. Let me go Scott Barnes.
Well, you can do whatever you want in rank, Brock.
There's no real rules.
Yeah, let me go Scott Barnes, number 5. Now, okay. Scott Barnes, it worked at the University of Washington. Scott Barnes is down at Oregon State. Scott Barnes was a name that was mentioned the last time this opened up 6 months ago. Scott Barnes' name is going to be mentioned more than likely, Salk, this time around. He knows the job. He knows the ask. He knows what's required of him. He didn't get the job for some reason the last time around. Can he get it this time around? Can he add a level of stability and say, listen, Anna Marie, this is my job. This is what I want. I am not leaving. Okay, I've been in Corvallis doing my thing and fundraising and building a football stadium and all of that. Let me get into the Big Ten and let me be a difference maker for you. So Scott's name's going to be involved on it. I'm going to put a number 5 on my list.
Okay.
Number 4 on my list, and with a strong caveat, he might be number 1, but I don't see Pat Chun taking this job. I don't know how Pat Chun, who's been stabbed in the back and has to feel that way over on the other side of the mountains, largely by the institution on the other side of the mountains, could do this. I mean, it would be must-see TV now if he were to say yes. If he were to bury the hatchet and somehow work, Salk, from a talent standpoint, like, he'd be number 1. From a pure talent standpoint, he would be number 1. An acumen, an experience, a background, a relationship, hiring great coaches, doing more with less, which you're going to have to do in the Big Ten with a half share. Dude would be number 1. So Pat Chun would be number 1, but he's number 4 because I just don't think he could do that.
Yeah.
I might get a text from him saying otherwise, but I would have a hard time believing that he could quite bury that hatchet. So 2 honorable mentions, 5-4.
And I don't blame him either, by the way.
Yep. So now we're down to 3-2-1. I don't really know Erin O'Connell. I apologize. She's the deputy AD. She's going to fill in the interim. She filled in the interim last time when Jen left. So I'm going to put her on that list because, and probably number 3 on this list, because she's been there and done that. She may be number 1 on this list. She may be the one hired.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just have very, of all of them, I have very, if Erin walked in the room, I don't know. I could probably figure it out quickly, but I just don't have a relationship there. So I'm going to go 3.
Do you know any of her history?
I don't. I really don't. I know her history, that she was the interim the last time around, and I'm sure was a candidate the last time around, as was Scott Barnes the last time around, as was maybe Pat Chun the last time around before everything totally disintegrated and blew up. But I don't know her well enough to really give you a strong opinion. So we're down to 2.
Her bio says prior to coming here, she was the director of athletics at Seattle Pacific University from 2009 to 2015.
Solid.
and the president and chair of the U.S. Rowing Board of Directors from 2014 to 16.
Okay. All right. No Seattle. Lifer. Been here. Done that. I mean, it was, and that's why I put those kind of asterisks.
Right.
If you're asking me to learn a lesson, I put it by those three and rank these three and put them on the medal stand because they've all been there and done it. They've lived their life here. Shannon Kelly was a hooper here, an awesome hooper, tough as heck and feisty and aggressive and competitive. And this school, she's right alongside Jen Cohen, man. This school is her lifeblood. Like, she's not leaving for Nebraska. She ain't leaving for Texas A&M. She's, well, maybe A&M up here, 10 million a year. I don't know. But she, it'd be really.
I was going to say never.
Yeah. It'd be really
generational
hard,
money, I mean.
I would think, to pry her away from a place that is just loved and she's not left.
And what does Shannon do now?
She is the deputy AD, and she's been big in fundraising, working with their big donors and big boosters. And guess what? Fundraising is really, really important as we move forward.
That's basically what Jen was doing before she was the AD, right?
Yeah, she did a lot of marketing and fundraising. Yep, and it's what Damon's done for a lot of years, too. And he knows all of the big donors, and he's got great relationships with a bunch of them. And I think the last time around, Salk, there were a bunch of them that put his name in the hat, and it was like, nope. Following Jen, we need somebody with experience. We need somebody connected. Following Jen, we need somebody as we move into the Big Ten to, you know, to figure all of this landscape out and where it's all going to go.
Moved into the Big Ten.
Correct. So
really crazy.
I would think this time around, if there were big donors and big boosters that were interested in Big Brother last time, well, for 6 months, he was on the inside, and he's worked right alongside Troy, and he's gotten to see how this whole administration works. And if he wants to do it, and he wants to get up early, and he wants to stay late, there may be an opportunity to entertain that. I would think he would interview this time around. I don't know what all of that would look like.
You going to put together his PowerPoint for him?
Probably not.
Probably not.
He's pretty good, man.
Is
he's
he?
Pretty good. He's pretty good at sales.
He can put together a PowerPoint?
Oh, he can put together a PowerPoint, yeah.
Could you?
Bro, I just did on Saturday when I spoke at Canyon Hills.
You put together a PowerPoint yourself?
Yes.
Nobody helped you?
Well.
Did you use
AI? Some of the colors.
Did Molly help me with the colors?
No, Molly helped me.
I'm told that's what AI is best at. ChatGPT,
is it really?
Yeah, that it's great for creating PowerPoints.
No, we're with about the slides in the background.
It was number one. He said it was Damon.
Damon and Shannon.
Good, good, good. Just making sure that was actually
It was Damon.
Oh, no. Well, 425 is a boring ranked. Give us a real
Totally event. Agree. Sorry, 425. Don't worry. We've got a good one on tap for tomorrow. This, you know, breaking news. It happens. Brock, we got to get out of here. We'll come back to a lot of this stuff tomorrow morning starting at 6 a.m. Bump and Stacy will have their take on this coming
they're
up
They're jelly
next.
Today, by the way. They're so jelly.
They are? Oh, because
yeah.
We had breaking news.
Yeah.
I think they'll be fine. Something tells me they'll survive it. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning. Till then, the hay.
Barn.
See you, everybody.
Get to the chopper!